Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Lily Jamali. We begin in South Lake Tahoe. That city is on edge as the Caldor fire moves closer. The fire has burned 177,000 acres and is just 14% contained by firefighters. South Lake Tahoe Mayor Tamara Wallace joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us under these circumstances. Why don't we begin by having you walk us through which parts of your town are under evacuation warnings, and are any parts of your town currently under evacuation orders?
Currently, the entire city limits are under evacuation warnings. None of our city is under evacuation mandates.
And how is the community preparing for this? I mean, you all live in an area that is known to be prone to fire, but it must be challenging to have to actually confront the possibility of it coming into the town, of that fire coming to the town.
Yes, it's never a good thing when wildfire comes to your town. However, in general, we prepare for it regularly. We have defensible space requirements that we go through. We always try to encourage our residents to have a go bag ready. But today and every day leading up to today for the last week, we've asked everybody to have several days of medication ready. We've asked everybody who has had medical issues, especially with regards to breathing, to leave town if they could, because our air quality has been absolutely horrible, way up in the 500 AQI. So now we're just in, for those of us who have stayed through that, we're just waiting for the mandates to come through, because I'm fairly certain that they will within the next 24 to 48 hours.
They'll be mandating orders, evacuation orders?
I believe so. I live on the southwestern end of town, so I'm only about 2.5 miles, maybe less, from where the last mandate line is. So I would imagine that that line will move soon.
What has the communication been like from local officials to residents? We're seeing videos on social media of this happening, unfolding in real time. And it sounds like, you know, compared to years past, it seems like there's an urgency in terms of, you know, maybe you're not under an evacuation order right now, but you really should think about getting out anyway. That seems to be the message.
Absolutely. I have lived through several fires in this community. The Emerald Fire was in 2016. The Angora Fire was in 2007. And I believe the Gondola Fire was in 2002. And those fires were in the basin. The Angora Fire was only just a couple of miles from where I'm sitting right now. And we lost 254 homes in that fire. And it was never even a consideration for us to evacuate our community at that time. But fire behaves differently right now. In our current climate, with drought conditions being what they are, after what we saw happen in the town of Paradise, we now know fire behaves differently. It moves at a much faster pace. We have more dead trees in our community and in all forests. And so this is a much different situation than those previous fires that we have all lived through here in our community.
And earlier you were telling me about your own family, your own experience and your kids. How are all of you doing?
Well, actually, I have 5 children. 4 of them are grown. 3 of the adult children live here in the community. 2 called me in the middle of the night and said, "Hey, Mom, we're leaving. And we're too nervous to stay in town. And so we're leaving." And I encouraged them to do that. They live even closer to the mandate line than I do. And I encourage them to leave, like I would any member of my community. If you feel too nervous to be here, then and you have the means to do so, you should leave as soon as possible. There's no need to stay in the community and just be upset and be nervous. Get off the hill. Get out of here if you can. And that way, the more people that leave sooner, there's fewer people to get out when the mandates come through.
All right. Well, we are wishing you and your family and your community a safe evacuation if it does come to that. Tamara Wallace is the mayor of South Lake Tahoe. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Over the weekend, the remains of U.S. military personnel killed by a suicide bomber outside of Kabul's International Airport arrived at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. That attack was especially devastating for one military base here in California. My California Report colleague Saul Gonzalez has more. Saul?
Lily, 13 members of the U.S. military were killed in the Kabul attack. 10 of them, 9 Marines and a Navy sailor, were stationed at Camp Pendleton, the sprawling Marine Corps base in North San Diego County. The attack was the largest mass casualty incident involving personnel from Pendleton since the U.S. war in Afghanistan began in 2001. 4 Marines from California were killed in the attack. They are Corporal Hunter Lopez, 22 of Indio, Lance Corporal Kareem Nakui, 20 of Norco, Lance Corporal Dylan R. Marola, 20 of Rancho Cucamonga, and Sergeant Nicole G., 23 of Sacramento. Another Marine, Utah-born Staff Sergeant Darren Taylor Hoover, 31, lived in the Orange County community of Aliso Viejo. Major General Roger Turner, Jr., the commander of the 1st Marine Division at Camp Pendleton, said military personnel who died in the attack did so while performing a heroic mission. And let's also remember that nearly 200 Afghans were killed in the same suicide bombing and hundreds more were injured. Lily?
That's an important point. Thank you so much, Saul. That is the California Report's Saul Gonzalez. Turning to politics, more than 8 in 10 residents of Imperial County, east of San Diego, are Latino. That's the highest percentage in the state. The county along California's southern border also saw the state's largest voting swing between the 2016 and 2020 presidential elections in favor of Republican Donald Trump. KQED politics reporter Guy Marzorati traveled there to see what the shift could mean for the September 14th recall election against Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom.
On a sweltering Saturday morning in El Centro, most shoppers outside a local supermarket were more concerned about their ice cream melting in the triple-digit heat than the recall election. Those who knew voting is already underway, like teacher Rosalba Jepson, had mostly made up their mind in one direction.
Yes, get rid of him.
This last year has been hard, says Jepson, who thinks Newsom didn't go through struggles like she did, adjusting to distance learning on the fly.
Nobody paid me that extra time, and then he's enjoying all this. So, I just don't think he's a good leader.
Polling suggests that Newsom faces two big hurdles to remain in office. One, Democrats are less tuned into this election than Republicans. And two, Latino voters like Jepson are not falling in lockstep with the Democratic Party's No campaign. Those dynamics are on display in Imperial County, where 85% of residents are Latino.
We are a border region, and so really that colors the way that we view our politics.
Steven Mireles is with the County Republican Central Committee.
We have families that are here, but we have family in Mexico.
He says a key reason that Trump cut his margin of defeat by 17 points last year was his focus on the border.
And we certainly saw that in terms of the money that was coming into the region to kind of secure our border, upgrade our fencing.
Hiring more Border Patrol workers and upgrading technology means jobs and easier cross-border commutes in Imperial County.
And I think that that was one of the issues of many that Trump spoke towards that really motivated voters that hadn't voted Republican or maybe even hadn't voted in many years.
Trump also showed up. In 2019, he paid a visit to El Centro and Calexico.
So behind us is the wall. It's the new wall. We've done a lot of it, and we're doing a lot more.
Local GOP organizers like Daniel Flores were able to use Trump's visit to network.
People that were present to show the support for President Trump when he arrived people came up, followed up, they signed up to volunteer, and we got it more engaged.
To be clear, Imperial County is still overwhelmingly Democratic. The party has a nearly 30-point registration advantage. But while Republicans have momentum, Democrats here have a turnout problem. The share of registered voters who cast a ballot was the lowest of any county in California in both 2018 and 2020.
I think one of the biggest barriers would be a language barrier.
Yomar Aguilar helped start the nonpartisan group Valle Vota last year to educate and engage voters.
It wasn't anything easy. It was no easy feat, because if you're a parent and you're not fluent with English and you have to work more than 40 hours a week, the last thing that's going to be on your mind is, how do I register to vote?
And now comes the recall election with its own barriers. It's a unique ballot in an off year, and groups like Valle Vota are trying their best just to catch up.
Right now, most people don't even know what the recall is about.
That's Raul Ureña. He won a seat on the Calexico City Council last year at age 23 with 70% of the vote. Ureña spoke to the pain of residents in Imperial County, which has the state's highest rates of COVID deaths and unemployment.
Just the content of the message that people are suffering, it really spoke to the fact that they did want to change in leadership.
In this recall, Newsom can't promise change. So to win over constituents like his, Ureña says the governor needs to remind voters of the recall campaign's original emphasis on immigration. After all, if you look at the recall petition, the very first complaint against Newsom is that his policies, quote, favor foreign nationals.
It's not about COVID. It's not about stealing money. It's the proponents of this measure think that Governor Newsom is helping illegal immigrants too much and all of this racist rhetoric that is coming out.
And Ureña says the governor should come visit. For the California Report, I'm Guy Marzorati in Calexico.
And that is the California Report for this Monday, August 30th. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Lily Dramali. Thanks for listening.
Support for the California Report comes from SF MoMA, presenting the exclusive U.S. exhibition of Nam June Beck, a visionary global artist who bridged art, music, performance, and technology. Learn more at sfmoma.org. California Healthcare Foundation, ensuring the voices of Californians are heard in California's decisions about healthcare, on the web at chcf.org/voices. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy harnesses the power of people and science to create innovative solutions for a healthy environment, just societies, and opportunities for human achievement.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.